Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. We complete our candidate conversations on the GOP side of the primary for governor with Bobby Williamson. Williamson, a self-described small businessman, is making his first run for political office. A reminder, the interviews here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. There's different types of governors. Some spend a lot of time just saying, like, here's my budget. That shows my priorities. Other governors tend to kind of bring initiatives and legislation that they present to the General Assembly. It sounds to me like you might be the latter, that the type of governor that's a little bit more active in engaging the General Assembly and what you would like to see done.
I plan on fine picking and tooth every little detail to find out where we can improve things for the people of Delaware. I am going to do every bit of the research and find out every expense that is not worthy enough to have to save the people of Delaware their tax, hard-earned tax dollars.
We see a lot of governors have some kind of signature initiative or legislation that they like to pursue. Do you have in your mind going in a potential signature agenda item or items that you feel like, if I want to get done one or two things as governor, these are the one or two things I would definitely want to get done?
Yes, I would say my main thing would be to restore Delaware back for the people and the citizens of Delaware, the long generation people that have lived here, raised families here, and has buried their dead here, that they are not feeling like they're being pushed out of their state. Also, I want to push initiatives for government oversight. Too much free money has been just wasted, giving it to all these different organizations. The unemployment, they got all kinds of things there. A lot of money's been misused. So we need some government oversight, and we need to restrict the government from doing oversight on the businesses, like the hospitals and medical industry, that they just passed all these different ordinances that they're going to try to regulate that. And we have to put an end to that.
Since you brought that up, I'm going to move to that, because that's one of the things I did want to talk to you a little bit about, which is healthcare cost and access, which are very stubborn issues in the state, also dealing with an aging population. State legislature did make some moves this year. One was dealing with state retiree benefits. The other was the hospital cost review board that you just cited, although Christiana Care currently suing over the legality of that board.
Good for them.
What would you advocate prioritizing to address cost and access to healthcare? Where do you think the government can have a role in making healthcare more affordable and easier to access?
I think the government needs to reach out to the people that have the intelligence and the connections to find better costs for prescriptions, find better ways of treating the illnesses that we need to deal with, including diabetes, which is very rapidly growing. Still, and we need to find solutions for that. There are the right people that have the right knowledge to deal with it, not just somebody that happened to be elected into an office. We need to let the professionals that deal with it and only deal with that situation.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about the budget. History tells us the next governor will face at least one economic downturn that leaves the state facing a serious shortfall. How would you approach such a situation where the revenues show that the state's short $300, $400, $500 million in a budget year? How would you approach finding a way to balance a budget given that type of crisis situation?
I'm sure that's going to be completely up to the particular situation that is causing the downfall. But as in business, when something fails, you have to dissect it, figure out exactly where the problem or waste is, and then you work hard to strain it back to get things back to a neutral position. And then once you find a zero point, then you can start growth from that.
Would you look at it as a situation where you would need to do cuts or a combination of finding new revenues? You know, which approach would you take?
Well, I am going in day one. If I have the opportunity to get a hold of that budget, and it's going to be cuts right from the get-go. Let's get a reserve by cutting and maybe even helping out with the amount of taxes that the people of Delaware are paying. And on the raised revenue part of it, I've heard that from many of my opponents, and it's like they are reaching out to the promised land of this marijuana influx of money that's coming in, and they think that's going to be the be-all answer to solve a lot of their problems through education. Every debate or forum that I've been to, I hear the opponents relying on this money from that, from raising from the marijuana sales, and it just makes me think back to how they said the same thing back in the gambling, to allow gambling in Delaware, and how that was going to save the state in certain financial difficulties. I don't believe we can go away and look for other revenue sources other than I would be very intent making deals with other companies, industries outside of Delaware to bring them back into Delaware to get the manufacturing going better in Delaware to give jobs back to our citizens.
Do you want to talk about affordable housing? Because that's been a significant issue in this campaign. How do you feel the state can be most effective in addressing the need for affordable housing? And I guess the question I've been asking a lot of candidates is this a big solution issue, or is this a creating a toolbox of smaller solutions type of issue?
That's a good question. I would think it would be more of a smaller issue. I would think we need to support the local towns and communities and give it back to the counties to help take in the needs of their community, because the needs of one community is going to be so vast different than the needs of a different community depending on the location. So each area needs its own special requirements to help out those that are needing affordable housing.
Let's talk a little bit about education. Education funding in particular. I mean, there was a report that was released last fall that was part of the education funding equity lawsuit that called for the state to spend an additional $600 million to $1.1 billion per year on education. Lawmakers created a public education funding commission to look at the education funding structure in the coming months. I'm curious where you stand going in, how education is funded in the state, how that could be improved, what approach you would take.
Well, my vision that I would like to see for the education of the students here in Delaware would be to have the allotment per child to where the parent and the child can work together to decide the future career of the child and what their goals are, and then have proper schools, whether it be charter schools, private schools, or public schools, or any trade school or specialty science school, whatever that is needed, your talent schools, to have them the opportunity to use the funding that's already allowed for them to go to their pathway of where they want to go with their education. And by doing that, I believe that's going to make it more of a free enterprise system on schools, which will make some schools, especially the public schools, have to step up if they want to retain the students, and also to give incentives. And they give incentives to the schools would be to hire better teachers and let the teachers do more of what the teachers are good at, which is teaching, and stop restricting them down on all these bureaucratic things that distract them from actually educating our children. And to do that will also help raise the income for our teachers, because the teachers are well underpaid, and we have so many administrators with high dollar salaries that we need to maybe eliminate.
I want to talk a little bit about climate change, just because the state has taken a bunch of steps to address climate change recently. Climate Change Solutions Act calling for the state to make zero net additions of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere by 2050. The Advanced Clean Cars 2 program, or what many have called an EV mandate, calling for 82% of new cars and trucks sent to Delaware for sale be zero emission by 2032. And the state has this year started taking some steps toward procuring offshore wind energy. I'll first ask the base question. Do you support any of those efforts that are currently underway?
No.
With that in mind,
I would love to expand on that. Excuse me.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think Delaware should be doing in the realm of climate change?
Okay. Well, I know we love to put all these different wind power and the EV mandate and all that stuff, and I think we are just misleading ourselves still. I don't think that's the exact all catch for what is causing climate change. EV mandates on themselves, and I have really, this is what really has fired me up. If we go down that road of future, it will destroy so many jobs here in Delaware. Besides the fact it will take and put such a high dollar cost for a new vehicle that most Delawareans will not be able to afford such a car. It doesn't mean that we can't move forward with the EV. It just means that it shouldn't be forced upon. And I mean, when they started with the hybrids, I was all, hey, we're moving forward. It wasn't government forcing it down someone's throat. It wasn't the government using tax dollar money to push an agenda. And now we brought up the point of the offshore wind. I am so much wanting to keep the historic and the beauty of Delaware to where it is. I just think that is just going to be a black eye to have something like that sitting right there in the middle of our bay. And I am so much against the fact that Ocean City is not even going to allow the transmission lines from their wind endeavor to go through their state. They want to bring it up like we are lesser than Maryland, and that we can go ahead and have the transmission line go through our state parks and our protected marshes into the Indian River power system. I just think that that is another slap in the face.
I want to ask you that in a time when there seems to be stronger distrust of government and calls for more transparency and accountability, what role do you feel like the Office of Governor and you personally can play in giving Delawareans greater transparency and accountability?
I want to be able to communicate with every citizen in Delaware. I want to hear every thought they have. I want to be able to, anything that comes up that is essential to the lifestyles of the regular working people and the regular retired people and the people's health here in Delaware, that they have a say. On school boards, we always are having these little voting opportunities to say yay or nay. Well, why can't we do that with all of government? Government is supposed to be ran by the people. And so I would like to have input of decisions by the people on these major issues that need to be decided.
One thing that has been floated by a number of people on both sides of the aisle is the idea of creating an inspector general in Delaware, someone to look into any questions of corruption or misuse of funds or things like that. Would you be in favor of an inspector general?
Not really as a one-person inspector general, but
as
an organization, organization of oversight on all things pertaining to the government and where our money goes. The taxpayer has a right to know where the money goes and to know that it's being used properly. So we definitely need that oversight type of a organization for the state government.
I want to wrap up by asking you if there's a issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle and how you would address it if you were elected.
The main issue I think that is being ignored is that the regular hardworking people that have lived here all their lives in this nice state of Delaware have been ignored. We are making so many considerations for the influx of other state people retiring. And that goes back to me wanting to add in that we are not little California. We are the first state of Delaware, and we need to stand as the first state of Delaware and not let California's rules infiltrate our state and just change our way of living.
That's Republican candidate for Governor Bobby Williamson. Our full conversation with Williamson is available at DelawarePublic.org. And that's all we have time for on this edition of The Green. The interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter there by clicking Newsletters at the top of the page. And remember, The Green is also available via podcast at our website, as well as Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and the NPR and Delaware Public Media apps. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible, our candidate conversation producers, Ethan Grandin, Jeep Hanslin, and Robert Stice, as well as Delaware Public Media senior producer, Kyle McKinnon. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again this Tuesday for a special edition of The Green with more from our candidate conversations in the race for governor.